Monday Shoes, and Schneider 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning. Hi, this is Pat Parker reminding you that you can tune to WISR 680 AM radio Saturdays after the CBS News at 10 AM for the phone party and audio auction. You can buy, sell, and trade items or mention garage or yard sales. You will also have the opportunity to bid on certificates from restaurants and other businesses and tickets from area locations. The phone number to keep in mind is 724-283-2525. That's 724-283-2525 for the phone party and audio auction on Saturdays after the 10 a.m. CBS News.
Well, it's a slight chance of a shower today. Mostly cloudy. A high of 52, though. A low tonight down to 34. And then Wednesday, a high close to 50. It'll be Thursday that we really see or feel a temperature difference. On Thursday, a high of just 35 degrees. Mostly cloudy Thursday night. A low down to 21 on Friday, even though you'll enjoy some sunshine. You'll have a high of just 29 degrees. Maybe a mixed bag of weather on Saturday that would include some snow showers and even some freezing rain, so be careful. Right now, though, we have 46 degrees. I'm Tracy Morgan in the Next Year Bank studios with WISR 680 AM. Next Year Bank, your hometown community bank. Your news time is 12:31. Dave Malarkey's coming up next with It's Your Turn. Thanks for joining us, and have a good day.
And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to be with us. It's the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. Kind of a gray day, and we'll see. We had just a peak of sunshine a time or two this morning. Yesterday, it turned out to be pretty sunny, you know, for much of us during the afternoon hours. Temperatures got up as high as 48 yesterday. We should top that today. We're still looking at low 50s later this afternoon, even if we don't get any sunshine. In fact, there could be a stray shower. But we'll take the mild weather, huh? Can you remember a January like this? I can't. Certainly not in recent years. It's terrific. It's going to turn colder and more seasonal when we get to Thursday and Friday. But a couple of more warm days. We have a lot of things to discuss on the It's Your Turn program today. And we're going to be talking about school choice on the first portion of the program. We'll chat briefly with Andrew Campanella in just a couple of minutes. National School Choice Week is coming up a little bit later this month. Also, I'm going to talk about some medical myths and tips with the medical doctor. Going to be chatting with us today, Dr. Martin Tavel. And we'll have guests from the Sing Hosanna Performing Arts Group, too, with us later on the program today. So we have a lot of stuff to get to. We'll take a quick break. We're going to be chatting with Andrew Campanella, our first guest. He's not here in Butler. He's in New York, I think. Anyway, he's going to be visiting with us by telephone here in just a couple of minutes on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. We'll be right back.
Home care through Concordia Visiting Nurses includes services which foster recovery, rehabilitation, recuperation, and health education. Ask your doctor about medical support needs at home. Ask for a referral for Concordia Visiting Nurses and enjoy the benefits of skilled practitioners coming to your home to help you feel better. For tips for family caregivers, visit elderpagespittsburgh.com.
Butler County Teachers Federal Credit Union members are encouraged to attend the 2020 Annual General Meeting this Wednesday, January 15th at 4:15 p.m. in the Butler Senior High School cafeteria. Parking will be available on both sides of the building. Sign-in will begin at 4 p.m. Come early to socialize over coffee and snack foods. Voting will be held for board and credit committee positions. Two door prize drawings will be held after the presentation. Members must be present at the time of the drawings to win.
School choice is the topic on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. Listeners, I'm Dave Malarkey. Our guest is Andrew Campanale. He joins us by telephone. He is the president of National School Choice Week, and that's what we're going to talk about today, school choice. First of all, Andrew, we better define this. So when we say school choice, what does that mean exactly for a family?
Well, that's a great question. When we talk about school choice, we're talking about all of the options that parents have or want to have for their kids' education. We're talking about parents actively choosing learning environments that meet their kids' needs. So that includes everything from traditional public schools to public charter schools, public magnet schools, online schools, private schools, and homeschooling. And we want families to use National School Choice Week as a time to find their child's first school, or if they're looking to make a change and they want to find a different learning environment for their child, to look into different options in advance of next school year.
Some of these options have been around for a while, but not too many of them. I mean, there was a time when you choose between, you know, the traditional public school or perhaps a private or parochial school that was available in your area. But some of these other ones are still relatively new, right?
That's absolutely right. And within the last 20 or 30 years, we have seen an incredible expansion in the number of options available for families. So, for example, even within traditional public schools, there are more policies now that allow parents to choose schools outside of their zones or districts in some cases. We now also have public charter schools. These are also free to attend. They don't charge tuition. They accept all students who apply as long as there's space available, but they have different curricula, different instructional strategies. You have public magnet schools. Those are also free to attend. They accept students regardless of their academic performance in most cases. They focus on themes like math, science, technology, and the performing arts. You have online schools. Those are free to attend, available to any student who wants to apply, and kids learn from teachers using the internet. You also have private schools. There are non-religious private schools, religious private schools, independent private schools, and in Pennsylvania, families can use state-sponsored scholarship programs to help better afford the cost of tuition. And you also have homeschooling with more resources, both online and in person, than ever before. So we are looking at more variety within K-12 education than at any other time.
We're talking with Andrew Campanella, who has served as president of National School Choice Week since 2012. When is it, by the way? When is the week?
January 26th through February 1st is National School Choice Week, but you can get started now in evaluating your child's options. Remembering, of course, that every child is unique. Every child learns differently, and what might be a good school for one kid might not be a great fit for your daughter or son. That doesn't mean there's anything wrong with your kid. It just means you probably would be better off in a different learning environment.
I know that you're a native of Pennsylvania, Andrew, although
I am, yes.
Come from the Philadelphia area. We'll forgive you for that, but here in western Pennsylvania, the Pittsburgh area, we have quite a good rivalry with the Philly teams, the Eagles and the Flyers and so on. But I wanted to ask you specifically about Pennsylvania. How do we stack up here in the Keystone State when it comes to the type of options that parents have? Do we have everything that you just outlined a few minutes ago?
Absolutely, and I would say that Pennsylvania families have more choices for their kids' education than families in many other states. And that is a good thing, because it means that if you're not happy with your child's school right now, you can go and look for a different environment, and if you do it now during National School Choice Week, you'll have hopefully enough time to evaluate all your options and get your child into a school that does work better in time for the next school year. So Pennsylvania families have lots of options. It's important that if you are happy with your child's school, be the inspiration for another family that is going through the school search process. Tell them about your child's school. Be that cheerleader or champion for the school. Education works best when everybody participates.
Homeschooling is pretty self-explanatory. I bet a lot of our listeners are a little bit confused about just what a charter school is. Can you talk about that for a moment, Andrew?
Absolutely. So people hear the term charter school, and there is a lot of confusion out there. The best way to describe a charter school is this. It is free to attend. It accepts every child who seeks to enroll in it as long as there's space available. And it's similar to a traditional public school in that it has to follow all the state laws and regulations related to public education. But charter schools are allowed to innovate more and come up with different curricula, use different instructional strategies, and all charter schools focus on different goals and themes and ideas. So one charter school might focus more, for example, on teaching students using technology, where another charter school might have a strong focus on literacy or on, let's say, you know, community activities. There are so many different types of charter schools out there that it's hard to paint with a broad brush.
If charter schools are free to attend, how are they funded?
They're free for the parent to attend, and they're funded through state and local tax dollars.
What about private school tax credits? Is this relatively new, and do we in fact have that here in Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania does have private school tax credits. It's relatively new in the sense that they've been around for, I believe, just over a decade or two decades. And how parents can access these, basically these tax credits allow families to get tuition assistance to send their kids to private schools. Usually these programs are available for families who don't earn enough money to be able to afford private education for their kids on their own. So these tax credits allow nonprofit scholarship granting organizations to give families scholarships to go to private schools. There are tens of thousands of families who utilize these programs in Pennsylvania right now, and those programs are giving families more opportunities than they otherwise wouldn't have because they're expanding access into private education.
So once parents realize that there are options, charter school, virtual education, homeschooling, and so on, how do parents find out in terms of navigating the options? I mean, are there websites available or information available to help them decide which would be best for their kids?
Great question. And as we look at these options, don't forget traditional public schools, too, because parents can choose to send their kids to the traditional public school in their area. We never want to forget that. There are also options to send your kid to public schools that might be outside of your zone or district. So I always want to emphasize that. In terms of tips and resources, you can visit the School Choice Week website. We have a specific site for parents. It's schoolchoiceguide.com, schoolchoiceguide.com. If you go there, you'll find a free guide to school choice in Pennsylvania, website links that you can go to. There's also videos you can watch, and there are podcasts that you can listen to. I also want to mention that in terms of navigating your school choice options and tips on actually finding a school that meets your child's needs, I have a new book coming out. This issue is really important to me. It's called The School Choice Roadmap, 7 Steps to Finding the Right School for Your Child. The School Choice Roadmap. It's available in ebook and print book format on January 21st.
One final question, Andrew. Is National School Choice Week partisan or political in any way?
No, we are not. We're nonpartisan. We're non-political. We don't advocate for or against any law, legislation or bills or anything like that. We're about letting families know their options and encouraging schools and learning environments to celebrate themselves in their communities so more families can hear about them.
Andrew Campanella, president of National School Choice Week. Good to talk with you, Andrew. Thanks for being with us today.
You too. Thank you so much.
Michael's Restaurant is now open for breakfast at 7 a.m. Join us for breakfast any day of the week, including after church on Sundays. Have you made plans for dinner yet? Bring the family for a great home-cooked meal. Michael's Restaurant also offers great Sunday dinner specials, stuffed chicken breasts, stuffed pork chops, lasagna, and more.
Armco Credit Union has one sweetheart of a loan rate waiting for you. Hi, I'm Kurt Heekins, loan manager at Armco Credit Union. And whether you're thinking of buying a vehicle or refinancing a loan from another financial institution, now is the time to take advantage of our low, low rates. Now through February the 29th, you can get a 60-month auto loan for as low as 2.25 annual percentage rate. Check out armcocu.com for other rates and terms. Apply for a loan online or visit us in person.
Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and is federally insured by NCUA.
Coming up, listeners, I think going to be a very interesting segment of the It's Your Turn program here on WISR. I'm Dave Malarkey. We're going to be chatting with Dr. Morton Tavel, MD, about a book entitled Health Tips, Myths, and Tricks, A Physician's Advice, Health Information to Liberate Us from Snake Oil. Dr. Tavel, nice to have you with us here today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Snake oil. Boy, that's a term that we saw back in those Western movies, you know, way back in the 1800s.
You're absolutely right. That's where it came from, and that's still with us.
Well, there are a lot of myths and conflicting information that we get about our health today, and that's what you've addressed in your book. One thing that always confuses me, which foods are safe to eat and which foods are bad for us, that information seems to change year by year, Dr. Tapp.
That is true, and you have to be on top of it to keep up with that. Some of that stuff. Some of it is genuine, and a lot of the stuff is not so genuine, I have to say. To enumerate any specific examples, some of the foods that are better for us are the ones that we I think generally recognize, things like fish and lean meat, particularly chicken. Those kinds of things are gaining more credibility in the entirety of this whole thing. The one thing that I encountered that's been building in the past few years is the need to avoid red meat, which surprised me to the extent that we need to avoid that. I would say that, let me see what my notes say here, because that's a rather important issue.
Well, while you're searching through your notes there, let me give our listeners a little bit of the background on our guest. Dr. Tavel served as a clinical professor at Indiana University School of Medicine. He has also served as past president of state and local divisions of the American Heart Association. He's a consulting cardiologist for Care Group Incorporated, a division of St. Vincent Hospital in Indianapolis. And we're talking about his book, Health Tips, Myths, and Tricks. So did you find any of that information you were hunting for on red meat?
Yes, yes, indeed. The question is, should we need to curtail red meat? And most of us are aware that red meat, when consumed in excess, is not really a very healthy choice. However, eating more than two servings a day raises one's risk of dying prematurely from cardiovascular disease by roughly 30%, which is quite surprising to me. It's estimated that 10% of deaths could be prevented if people consumed less than a half a serving of red meat per day. A single serving is roughly 3 ounces of cooked steak, hamburger, or pork chop, especially hazardous, interestingly enough, are processed meats such as sausage, ham, or bacon that should be limited to about 1 ounce at the most every day or two. The likely reason for the production of cardiovascular disease by red meat is not clearly understood, but red meat does contain a healthy, and I shouldn't say healthy, quite a bit of saturated fat, which raises cholesterol levels and contributes to hardening of the arteries. Other potentially contributing substances include salt, iron from the blood in that meat, and potentially harmful compounds that are created when meats are cooked at high temperatures. Interestingly enough, however, and not very well appreciated, there is a relationship between red meat and cancer. The American Cancer Society has made the following statement, and I quote, "To reduce your cancer risk, eat no more than 18 ounces of red meat per week, such as beef, pork, and lamb, and avoid processed meat, such as ham, bacon, salami, hot dogs, and sausage, unquote. So after careful analysis, they found that the risk of colon and rectal cancer rises by about 20% for every serving of red or processed meat consumed daily, with additional suggestive evidence that the risk may extend to other cancers as well. We don't really understand exactly how red meat does that, but the research is getting more and more firm as far as confirming that information.
A lot of those processed meats
are... Those are very important points that I think needs to be disseminated widely through our society.
A lot of those processed
meats...
Maybe
not so much the beef industry, however.
A lot of those processed meats are very high in sodium as well,
exactly.
As are, and this surprised me when I found out that about this a couple of years ago, canned soup is incredibly loaded with this sodium, is it not?
Absolutely, and that's something that I stressed in the book. The average canned soup contains roughly 700-800 milligrams of sodium, which is quite plentiful. In fact, as much as 1,500 milligrams in some. When you're looking at labels and getting canned soups of various sorts, try to get less than 300 milligrams if it's possible. That's what I would shoot for. And maybe making homemade soup with avoiding sodium entirely might be the better choice if you can do that.
So those are some of the things that we want to watch out for. Some foods may be better than we think, however, and Dr. Tavel talks about that in his book, Health Tips, Myths, and Tricks. For example, potatoes. We often hear a lot of bad news about potatoes because they're high in carbohydrates, but you say they're high in some other good stuff too, Doctor.
Yes, that's right. Magnesium, for one thing, some calcium. They can be healthy. As a matter of fact, if you take them in moderation, the potatoes can be very good. If you don't load them up like a baked potato with all kinds of caloric ingredients, or if you don't eat a lot of French fries, which is not good. If you do eat French fries, you're better off making those with unsaturated oils, which makes it less nefarious. That's the way to go, and as far as that's concerned.
Talk about some of the biggest myths that you debunk in your book. How about these high-energy drinks? We see a lot of ads for those on TV over the past few years. What's in that stuff anyway?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, that turns out to be one thing only, and that's caffeine, surprisingly enough, which... you can get out of coffee, and it's a lot cheaper that way, and the amount of caffeine you get in coffee is more or less determinable. In the average cup of coffee runs about 100 milligrams of caffeine per cup. You can take it all the way up to about 400 per day without any undue nefarious effects. So that's one of the myths that we have to be cognizant of, that those so-called energy drinks, for instance, 5-Hour Energy, etc., are just simply given with caffeine. And many of them don't list how much caffeine is in each one. They range anywhere from maybe a modest amount to almost none, all the way up to practically toxic levels, 400 or 500 milligrams of caffeine. So this could be a problematic for people who have a hard time tolerating that particular agent.
Mm-hmm. So caffeine can be dangerous if you overdose on it, huh?
Yes, indeed. It can certainly, at least it can create jitteriness and insomnia and things of that nature. And it can, in some cases, aggravate heart irregularities. So it has to be watched out, particularly in people who have cardiac problems.
We hear an awful lot about diets all the time, especially this time of the year. A lot of people try to
yeah.
lose weight and fail. What really works and what doesn't work?
Yes. Well, it's far easier to state what doesn't work, frankly, than what does. We're all familiar with what doesn't work, and that's most everything, frankly. But interestingly enough, in a recent review, a large medical journal, found that there's various so-called fad diets, such as you might name a whole bunch, like South Beach, low carb, Atkinson, Q10, ketogenic, et cetera, et cetera. None of them really appeared to be superior to simply curtailing what takes in both carbohydrates as well as fats. Preferably, you should curtail both of those things in just a standard diet. So it turns out that, as a matter of fact, it's very difficult to continue on one of those fad diets for any length of time because usually they're difficult to tolerate. They're not very tasty for a steady diet. So usually people can't do that. And whatever diet you go on, you have to be able to continue for a long period of time because short term, that doesn't cut it. As a matter of fact, if somebody goes on a short term diet and does lose weight, they're very often bouncing back up in terms of their weight when they go back on their more usual diet and so-called yo-yo dieting, which can be a threat to health in itself, interestingly enough. In general, however, incorporating more fruits and vegetables provides more volume in any diet, fewer calories, better satiation, and it's easier to follow. And the so-called Mediterranean diet is one example of a pretty good plant-based diet plan which can help with weight loss. It may not in itself be able to do that, but it helps. This diet is, as I said, abundant with plants, nuts, vegetables, and olive oil, which is a good oil, and also with fish and smaller amounts of poultry and dairy. This kind of diet is useful for both controlling heart disease and even cancer, interestingly enough. I should also add, in closing, eliminating sugary drinks is helpful for weight control. That's extremely important to avoid not only sugary drinks, but interestingly enough, so-called diet drinks are not really conducive to losing weight either. It's been shown through numerous studies that these things don't result in a successful weight reduction, and the reason for that is not clear. They may be fooling the brain into thinking you're having some calories and then you get hungry later. We're not sure, but that's not the way to go. I would recommend just plain old water or even soda water if you like that better, or even unsweetened tea. I would also mention in passing that so-called dietary supplements that are recommended to cause you to lose weight are also uniformly unsuccessful. They just don't work.
We have to take a quick break. We still want to talk about, if we have time, flu shots, the common cold, allergies. We'll pick up our conversation with Dr. Morton Tavel here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words.
You've been so busy getting ready for the holidays that you totally forgot to get your vehicle ready for the winter. No worries. West End Tire and Service kept their snow tire inventory up, but don't wait too long as they're harder to come by later in the season. West End Tire and Service prides itself on offering the same great service, installation, and staff as Siemens provided for years. Their trained technicians will check your air pressure and do tire evaluations for free. Anytime. Stop in and see what's new and be sure to visit them on Facebook. West End Tire Service today, West Cunningham Street next to Battery Warehouse Plus Butler.
Welcome back. The It's Your Turn program here on WISR. I'm Dave Malarkey. We're chatting with guest Dr. Morton Tavel, who has published a book entitled Health Tips, Myths, and Tricks, A Physician's Advice. Well, let's talk about flu shots.
Okay.
They don't work all the time, but you still recommend them, don't you?
Absolutely. I'm really in 100% of the time I recommend them. They don't necessarily work 100% of the time, but I recommend them 100% of the time. And they are interestingly, it brings up another couple of points relative to immunization in general. I think most people are aware, maybe they aren't, that back in the late 1990s, there came out one article that said immunization in general, like the childhood immunizations against measles, mumps, and German measles, was a cause for autism. That's been totally debunked, interestingly enough. Since that original article came out, numerous other articles came out debunking that, and that was withdrawn, actually. That paper was withdrawn from the journal it was published in, and that individual that published that was debanded, was eliminated from his Medical Society, as a matter of fact. It was so controversial. So that has gone by the boards, but nevertheless, the idea of immunization has persisted to this day, with large numbers of people failing to immunize their children against the diseases that should be repressible and were dangerous to our parents and grandparents, and they're coming back, some of them in more virulent form, like measles has come back even more serious than it was originally. So flu shots, among others, are very important. They may not be 100% effective. They sometimes aren't, but in the particularly the very young and the older individuals, our senior citizens should have those on a yearly basis. And even if you do happen to get flu after having had a shot, the flu that you get is apt to be attenuated and much less severe than otherwise. So I would strongly recommend those on a yearly basis.
How do we get rid of the common cold, Dr. Tavel, the common cold?
Well, common cold is is something that that we all have to realize that we have to live with. There is no cure. This is a viral illness, and it has no, up to this time, has no cure. It will, within a week or two, go away by itself. The main thing we have to be attentive to is to avoid doing things that make things worse, one of which would be taking antibiotics. That's a mistake. Antibiotics can create side effects in themselves. They can create allergies, and they also are capable of producing antibiotic-resistant bacteria, which can come back to haunt us later. So if somebody has a cold which lasts for longer than a week or so, or is associated with the development of fever later or cough, then you should see a physician and let him or her decide whether you need a stronger medication and possibly even antibiotics. The usual means to control the symptoms of colds are, I would suggest, just anti-congestants, like antihistamines and nasal sprays, which are readily available in the form of like Afrin as one example, and use of steam sometimes is helpful in mechanical steam producers can be useful to manage symptoms. But the bottom line is hang in there, let it go away by itself, don't make things worse.
What about allergies? What are some of the allergy myths that you put to rest in your book?
There's a number of them, and I could hardly even touch the surface. A couple of interesting ones that fascinated me was one was the idea that you can get rid of allergies and asthma, for instance, by going to the southwest of the United States. And that turns out to be a total myth, because there are other things that cause allergies in those regions. And I remember when I was in my medical training, I spent some time in the Southwest spending an emergency room there, and we had one asthmatic after another coming in with acute attacks, and this was in the, supposedly the place where you don't get allergies. And so that's a total myth. The other interesting one is the fact that a lot of people think that their milk allergic. They're allergic to milk, and that turns out if people get like cramps, diarrhea, things like that from milk, usually it's not allergy. It's caused by lactose. That's so-called lactose intolerance, and they lack that what we call an enzyme called lactase, and that can be overcome fairly easily with either milk that doesn't contain lactose, the so-called lactate milk, or using lactase pills. So it's not allergy, but it's often misconstrued as allergy. There are a number of others that I could mention, but there are really too many to cover in one session.
Well, our time begins to run out here, and believe me, folks, I've just scratched the surface. There's one other important thing that the doctor discusses at length in his book, and that's breaking down the anatomy of a typical health scam, watching out for things like a product works by a secret formula or something like that. That's a red flag. The title of the book is Health Tips, Myths, and Tricks, A Physician's Advice. by Morton Tavel, MD. Dr. Tavel, he's been our guest here on It's Your Turn. Dr. Tavel, nice to talk with you today. Thanks for spending a little bit of time with us, sir.
Well, thanks for having me. It's a delight. I appreciate your questions. They're really good, and you have a good day, and Happy New Year.
And to you too, Doctor. So long now.
Thank you. Bye.
Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers congratulates orthopedic foot and ankle surgeon Dr. William Saar for being named a best doc by Pittsburgh Magazine for the third straight year.
I'm Dr. William Saar with Tri-Rivers. Whether you suffer a foot or ankle-related trauma, such as a fracture or dislocation, or require reconstructive foot and ankle surgery, I rely on my extensive experience and specialized training to get you back on your feet. For more information or to schedule an appointment, please visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us here on the It's Your Turn program on a Tuesday. Bit of a gloomy Tuesday, but pretty warm. We're getting close to 50 degrees. Middle of January, you certainly can't complain about that. Our next guests are here in the studio with us, Ralph Christie Jr., the founder and director of the Sing Hosanna Performing Arts Group. Ralph, always good to see you.
Thank you. Same here.
And a cast member of an upcoming Sing Hosanna production is with us as well, and that's Olivia Slater. Olivia, it's nice to meet you. It's nice to have you here.
Thank you. You too.
I didn't realize you had a show coming up so soon, Ralph. This weekend, right?
It is this weekend. Yeah. It's our winter dinner theater. We do two dinner theaters a year. One in August and one in January. So that it is this coming Saturday. The name of the show that we're doing is called The Mice and the Manger. One session only at 12 noon on January the 18th, which is this coming Saturday. It'll be at St. Peter's Parish Hall. Full course meal and the show, which is called The Mice and the Manger. And then we also will have our hand-dipped delectable chocolates for sale also.
Mm. And this is a play that features all young people, is that right?
Well, it could be older people, but they're all mice, so it kind of works better if they're shorter. Kind of goes with the perspective of the scenery that we have. We have eight mice, and they are spending the night in the stable in Bethlehem where Mary and Joseph came. So it's very interesting. At first, they feel that all these people are coming in are crowding where they would sleep every night. So mm-hmm. they're upset about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the more they get to see what happens, it's told from the perspective of the eight mice.
Fascinating.
It is very fun. Yes.
Well, you're sneaking it in here at the tail end of the Christmas season.
We are.
Huh?
We are.
Yeah. Olivia, I guess I don't have to ask you if the entire cast consists of mice. Then you obviously play a mice in this show, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that there are different kinds of mice.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Well, there are three house mice, three stable mice, and two field mice. And I am part of one of the house mice, which are like the fancier mice. And I am a mouse who is afraid of brooms because I got hit by one and we got kicked out of our stable. So then we have to go live with the stable mice.
So, back in those days, there would have
lots of mice,
been mice in the houses or in the inn.
That's right. Yeah.
No room at the inn. Yeah. And, of course, field mice.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, mice that would have been indoors back in those days. Even today, people find, mice in their house, mice in their attic.
Yeah.
They come inside because it's colder.
That's right. That's
field
right.
mice come inside when it's colder. And then, of course, anybody that's ever been in a barn, there's mice all over the place.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of farmers have several cats.
Yep.
Keep the mice population down. So you were one of the house mice?
Yes.
So you're a fancy mouse? What the heck? Mm-hmm. What the heck is a fancy mouse? You look different than a regular mouse.
We dress kind of nicer because we live in a house where, like, the people have better, like, living. And usually a stable, people don't usually live in a stable. But the stable mice, they don't dress as fancy because they don't expect people to be there and it's not as fancy. And then the field mice, they're just out in the field, so they just dress casually.
Mm-hmm. Are you Are you dressed like, I mean, a mouse? Do you have a mouse costume?
Yeah, we have all gray mouse costumes, but then just like a robe over top.
I see.
Biblical costumes over top of the mice costume.
So, did you have to make these costumes, Ralph?
Well, actually, the mice costume I probably have had in my collection for about 35 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You've done other mice plays?
Oh, many. Many. I've pulled them out quite a bit.
So tell us, Olivia, a little bit about this play. Does it open up before you have these unexpected intruders into the stable, Mary and Joseph, when does it open up?
Well, it starts with all the stable mice, and they're living in their stable, but then the house mice come in, and they want to stay there because the other humans kicked them out of their house.
That's right. And Bethlehem was getting pretty crowded because there was a census or something.
Yeah.
You had to come in and register for the tax or the census or something like that.
Yes.
So there were so many people in the house that the mice got kicked out, huh?
Yeah. And then they saw that the nativity scene was happening, and then their mood kind of changed with all these people coming. They kind of changed their idea of, like, people moving into their stable and how they felt about it.
Hmm. Who else is in the cast in addition to Olivia Slater visiting with us here today, Ralph?
Well, we have Nathaniel Archer, Leah Harris, Jordan Davis, Tommy Lynn Killian, Elena Bestwick, Kylie Spink, Simon Archer, and Olivia.
Do you have to sing or dance, or is it just a straight play?
We have a little bit of choreography in our beginning song that we made. It is the tune to Three Blind Mice.
I was going to say it has to be in there somewhere.
Yeah, we kind of changed the lyrics so then it would fit the story better, and then at the end we have to sing Silent Night.
Oh, wow, that's nice.
Oh, it's a great ending. Just very moving.
How does a mouse dance, for goodness sakes?
We usually just use like our hands to dance, like not actual dancing, I suppose, just using our hand motions.
So do the different kinds of mice have different perspectives on what they're witnessing in the stable?
Yeah, it's very cleverly written. So when the house mice come out, they're the ones who talk about the census and how busy it is and so forth. And then the field mice, of course, are in the field when all the angels come and talk to the shepherds.
Oh, that's right. They would have seen that, yes.
That's right. So that's that whole perspective that they tell that part of the story. So it's just really a cool show, really, really great. The kids are doing a great job with it.
Hmm. Did you know your fellow castmates beforehand, Olivia, or have you made new friends here?
Yes, I knew all of them from different musicals or plays that I've been in with Sing Hosanna.
Mm-hmm. Also, you've done a bunch of plays already?
Yeah, since 2016 I started.
Mm-hmm. Where do you go to school, Olivia?
I go to school at the Butler Intermediate High School.
And what grade are you in?
I'm in 7th grade.
Is this your first year in that building, or were you there last year, too?
This is my first year here.
Okay. It's hard for me to remember who goes where in Butler anymore, because they keep changing it all the time.
And they're talking about changing it again, so.
Yeah, yeah. Where'd you go to elementary school?
I actually went out in Chicora to St. Wendelin's.
Oh, yes, okay. I know where that is. It's out by Highland Golf Course, right next to Highland Golf Course.
Yep.
Yeah. So how do you like 7th grade so far?
It's really fun. Like, before we had to go everywhere with our classes, but now we're, like, kind of more free to go, like, walk on our own to our classes now.
Uh-huh. Big building, though, huh? You could get lost in there.
Yeah. For the first couple of weeks, I thought I would get lost, but then I just kind of got used to it.
Yeah. Well, you have a lot more classmates, too. It's a lot bigger class. What do you want to be when you grow up? Have you thought about that? You're only in 7th grade. I think when I was your age, I still wanted to be a cowboy. I'm not sure.
I want to do acting, but I also want to do some interior designing.
Ah. Well, that's interesting that you would be thinking about that already as a 7th grader.
Yep.
Have you changed your bedroom around?
Yeah, I change it around pretty often because I like to see like different ways I can make it look.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Do you have any brothers and sisters?
I have one older brother. He's in 9th grade.
I see. Well, certainly nice to have you here, that's for sure.
Thank you.
So you've done a bunch of other shows already with Sing Hosanna or with other groups?
Yes. I did them with Sing Hosanna, and I did some at my old school, St. Wendelin's.
Mm-hmm.
They were just like little skits that we did that at St. Wendelin's.
So is it valuable at a young age to get involved in doing plays and stuff like that, getting up on stage?
Yes, I think that it's better whenever I started younger, because then I kind of got used to acting on a stage instead of starting whenever I was older.
Mm-hmm.
So then like I get more used to the audience and everything.
I think it helps kids even in their classroom work because, you know, once you've gotten up on stage, especially in front of classmates, and gotten over that fear, you know, mm-hmm. of public speaking.
Yeah.
Man, that's a good talent to have for the rest of your life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are a lot of skills in theater that go on with you through life, you know, getting along with people and working together and learning your memorization.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been rehearsing this play, Olivia?
We started in December, towards the middle or end of December, and then now we're going to perform it this Saturday.
One show only.
Correct. Yeah, mm-hmm. We used to do two dinner theaters in one day. Well, that just became too much.
Yeah. By the way, there is a meal here, so you have a deadline coming up very soon for people who want to get in reservations, right?
Yes, we have assigned seating, so everybody has to register. Our menu includes some connection with some mice. So our appetizers are called Mouse Delight Bites. So we're not going to just say anything more about that. Homemade lasagna accompanied with homemade meatballs, rolls, and then for dessert, a mouse brownie surprise.
Maybe a little cheese in there somewhere,
there will
huh?
be cheese somewhere, yes.
I was going to say, if you're going to have mouse food, you better have some cheese. Reservations are due by tomorrow, did you
Tomorrow,
say?
Yeah. And you can get still tickets here at May's Music Shop on 247 East Jefferson Street. And a shout-out to Josh and all the great work that they do with all the theater groups in the area. The tickets are $22 per adult and $7 per child 10 and under. And as I said, they have to be you have to buy them by tomorrow.
So you have to go to May's to get them?
Yes.
Okay. More information by phone somewhere?
Yes. If you want some more information, you can telephone 724-290-8900.
We'll take a break. We'll be back and chat more with Olivia and with Ralph here on It's Your Turn on WISR, Tuesday edition. Back right after these words. Hey, here's a good way to beat the winter blahs. Get out of town for a few days. Why not take a trip with Butler Motor Tours? Butler Motor Tours, a local company. They're on South Monroe Street in Butler. They've been around for more than 75 years. And when you travel with Butler Motor Tours, you travel in comfort on one of their big motor coaches, their big cruisers. By the way, they always take trips down to Florida, too, in the winter months, so there's an idea to look at. If you want to check out their offerings, just go to their website. It's butlerbus.com. Butlerbus.com. All their upcoming trips are listed there with the dates and the itinerary and the cost and all of that. You can even book online if you so desire. And you can get gift certificates too. Butler Motor Tours. Check them out online at butlerbus.com. That's Butler Motor Tours online at butlerbus.com. The Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home and Cremation Services, located at 140 Newcastle Road. It's about halfway up Newcastle Hill, just down from the State Police Barracks. This is the Butler area's newest funeral home, Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home, the first and only value-designed funeral home, built specifically for that purpose. A funeral home that offers styles, types, and levels of service that others are not able or willing to offer. They can transfer all prearranged funeral services and policies as well. It's an entirely new idea. It's local. And there's a hometown gentleman running the operation, Spencer D. Geibel. Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home and Cremation Services, 140 Newcastle Road in Butler. Not affiliated with any other funeral home. Christy Jr. is here, along with Olivia Slater. She's one of the cast members of the Sing Hosanna Winter Dinner Theater production coming up this Saturday afternoon, The Mice and the Manger. What's on the agenda as we head into the new year of 2020 for Sing Hosanna, Ralph? You do a spring show, don't you?
We do a spring show and a fall show. And we just had auditions for our spring show. We are going to Shrek the Musical. So this is our second time for doing Shrek. We did it about 6 years ago, and it was such a big hit. And now we have a new population of kids. I thought it would be kind of cool to get those kids exposed to Shrek then also.
Do you know Shrek, Olivia?
Yeah. This is one of my very first musicals that I went and saw, like in Pittsburgh and stuff.
It's a funny show, even for adults.
Yes.
most adults know it from the movie version, which is hilarious no matter how many times you see it. But that'll be fun. And that'll be when? April?
Palm Sunday weekend, Friday, April the 3rd, Saturday, April the 4th, and a matinee on Sunday, April the 5th. And that's at the Suck Up Theater at Butler County Community College.
You need some talented people to do that show.
And
not only for Shrek, but for some of the other
All those major leads. Yeah, you have to be funny, and we do have a pretty good cast. So.
Can you remember the first show you ever did on stage, Olivia? This would have probably been at St. Wendelin's, right?
Yeah, the first show I did was a story of Helen and Troy, who were in hundreds of years ago. It was a story told on how Helen and Troy met, and the Athenians met each other, and then they wanted to battle, and the story of all that.
And that led to the story of the Trojan horse, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you have a wooden horse?
Yeah, we had a wooden horse, and then people had to try and hide behind it because you couldn't fit them inside of it.
A lot of fun, huh?
Yes.
Helen of Troy, yes. Well, I'm sure you're having fun doing this show. It's a good time, right?
Yeah.
When you're with other kids your own age. Are most of the other mice your age?
Yeah, the age is between 7 or 8 until 15 or so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you have some little mice, huh?
We do. Yeah. Just cute little Simon, yeah. He's a little mouse. He's the one that saw the angels, and he has to sing a little song about the angels. He's just great.
What an interesting idea for this show.
It is very interesting. And the side point to this, and the kids are doing such a good job, we are looking at the mice, but we never see Mary, Joseph, the wise men, the manger. So every time they're talking about those people, they turn their heads to the right as if that's the next part of the stable. And they do it so well that you think that then you can see the people right there. They're doing an amazing job.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's tough drama because with what you're saying and doing, you have to make the audience imagine what you're seeing. Well, that's good drama.
Yeah, they're doing a great job.
Yeah. What about, do you have a set? I mean,
we have a
stable walls or something?
Right, a muslin backdrop. It's really interesting. It's a painted stable. It must be about 16 feet by 8 feet. It could be more than that, 20 feet. And it's painted with the stable, with lambs, the cows, but they never painted the people in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually...
So it works just perfectly
works
for you.
Yeah.
Well, and if you don't see the Holy Family, then you wouldn't need a manger, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah.
I was reading about that over the Christmas holidays, that there are a lot of people, especially people who never grew up on a farm, that don't really know what a manger is. A lot of people think because we talk about a manger scene, they think that a manger is a stable. A manger is not a stable.
Yeah, it's not, no.
A manger is, do you know what the answer to that is, Olivia? A manger is a feeding trough.
Where the cows, yeah.
Yeah, for cows. It's not actually a stable. Yeah. But you don't see the Holy Family, so you don't have to worry about that. Yeah. What about, do you have straw all over the floor or something like that?
I used straw on one show. I can't remember which show it was.
Whistle Down the Wind.
Whistle Down the Wind. And I said to myself, I am never using straw again.
You ended up with straw everywhere, huh?
For the next year, we were still collecting straw out of the theater.
It was collected all on our costumes and everything, too.
You did that show, Olivia?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My producer tells me I've got to squeeze in one more break here before we wrap up today. So let's do that, and we'll be back to chat just a little bit more with Olivia and Ralph here on It's Your Turn on WISR, the Tuesday edition. We will be right back.
I can't remember the last time I went to the dentist. Now I'm too embarrassed to go because my teeth are in such bad condition.
Unfortunately, this person is not alone. Many folks put off going to the dentist because they fear being scolded for neglecting their teeth. This is Dr. Bob Todd with a special message. Dentistry today is faster, easier, and better than ever before. At our dental office, we don't believe in making you feel guilty, no matter how long it has been since you've seen a dentist. We know fear and embarrassment can cause a cycle of procrastination. If it has been years since you've been to the dentist, call us today. We will help put your mind at ease and bring your smile back to health.
If you hate going to the dentist but know you have a dental problem, help is only a phone call away. Dr. Bob Todd and his friendly dental team will answer all your questions and care for all your concerns. For complimentary information or to schedule an appointment at their Butler office on Evan City Road, please call 282-7774 or on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Tobacco for Less is Western PA's largest glass emporium, and they now have a store in Butler at Pullman Square Plaza. What makes Tobacco for Less different from other stores? For starters, they have so many glass pipes to choose from. They also feature a walk-in humidor and a vape juice bar. And of course, they carry a variety of standard tobacco products too. The Tobacco for Less Health and Wellness Department stocks a large selection of high-quality CBD products. For all your smoking and vaping needs, check out Tobacco for Less with locations in Butler, Sharon, and Aliquippa.
Time begins to run short here. I was chatting with Olivia Slater during the break. Found out that she's not only a talented young actress, but you're also a pianist.
Yes, I play piano, and I started doing volleyball this year for Butler Intermediate.
When did you start taking piano lessons?
Since I was 7 years old.
Wow, so you've been doing that for a while, huh?
Yes.
I took piano lessons once, 6 weeks, and I quit. And I've regretted it ever since I, you know, grew up. I just wish I'd have stuck with it, or, you know, my mom and dad would have said, you're going to do this, because I always regret not being able to play the piano. I can do, like, you know, 2 chords. That's it.
Yeah, whenever I was younger, I wanted to quit, but then my mom said that I'll regret it if I did.
Well,
and
good
I'm glad
for
I
her.
Kept going with it.
Good for her, yes. A talented young lady here.
She certainly is.
Yeah. Want to review the details for making reservations, picking up your tickets for the show this Saturday. And I mentioned it because you got to do it by tomorrow, right, Ralph?
By tomorrow at 5 o'clock, yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. The tickets are at May's Music Shop on Jefferson Street, and the tickets are $22 per adult and $7 per child 10 and under. Includes a full-course meal, homemade lasagna, homemade meatballs, some dessert, some drinks. And then a fascinating show about 8 mice who retell the Christmas story from their perspective.
Do you have to scamper around on the floor, or do you walk around on 2 feet, Olivia?
Well, we kind of scurry on 2 of our feet. Like, we have to have our hands up close to our chest, and then our legs have to go up high whenever we, like, kind of fast walk.
Mm-hmm. There was a show, Butler Little Theater did it many, many years ago, where a woman played a dog. Sylvia, I think, is the name of the show. I'm not sure. But she did not wear a dog costume, and she did not walk around on all fours like a dog. But it only took about 5 minutes before the audience began to see her as a dog.
That's cool.
Even though she was, you know, walking around a human. It was a good show. Good show. Well, maybe people will start to see you as a mouse a few minutes into the show, Olivia.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for coming down and chatting with us here for a few minutes today.
Thank you for having me.
It was nice to meet you. Olivia Slater, and thanks to Dad for chauffeuring here today, too. And Ralph Christie, Jr., always good to see you. The Mice and the Manger this Saturday, 12 noon at St. Peter's Parish Hall on Franklin Street in Butler. But You need your tickets by tomorrow.
Tomorrow, 5 o'clock.
May's Music has them. Oh, you got chocolates tomorrow, too, right?
Oh, yeah, we're selling chocolates also. Hand-dipped. Mm-hmm. Our people did our hand-dipped chocolates. Great.
Nice to have you here today.
Thank you.
And we thank our earlier guests as well, Dr. Morton Tavel and also Andrew Campanella, visiting with us on the first portion of the program today. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. And I hope to see you tomorrow at 12:30 for the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.